right, you primitive screwhead. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Baker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I'm doing, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man. Go look. You've got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going?
That's depressing music, but otherwise awesome.
It was depressing news. to hear it was sad.
61 years old.
Too, 61
too,
years
too young.
Young.
Way too young.
Although I gotta say, for wrestlers, 61 is like Nebuchadnezzar.
No, I
like,
well,
that
while true.
Lived.
While true, it's still just 61, and the guy beat cancer.
Oh, absolutely! I'm not, but
and he did he punish himself as much as so many of the other wrestlers out there?
Was he
relatively more cleanly?
He was in an era where punishing yourself, well, at least when he was on TV with the WWF,
yes,
he was not. I mean, he wasn't really punished.
I don't want to tarnish the man's name, but. I believe, and I could be mistaken, but I believe he at least used a bit of the drugs back in the day, the cocaine,
he had
perhaps,
to.
Right?
Well, you know, they they all did cocaine
of
in
course.
The years.
That was in the contract, I think, back in the 80s, wasn't it?
They gave it to you like as part of your paycheck.
We can't say – I mean, it's not like he's ever come out and said, I used drugs in
yeah.
the 80s. I mean, if
he
has –
He might have. I don't know if he did like in a biography or anything.
He might have. If Rowdy Roddy Piper used drugs in the 80s, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
You might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Indeed. So, yes, I think he punished himself that way. And I think they all punished themselves with razor blades and the cuffs and all of that
yeah,
stuff.
He didn't do a lot of that stuff. That's what I was saying. Like, that era was not about that.
I don't remember him bleeding.
The most
often.
Blood. The most
the
blood
missing
you
Link
saw.
And Captain
most,
Lou.
Yeah, the most blood you saw in the 80s on WWF was like Jimmy Snuka.
I was going to say Snuka.
When Piper hit him in the head with the coconut.
Snuka was a fountain.
But I mean, he wasn't like Abdullah the Butcher. You know, he wasn't like in some of those southern areas of the country doing wrestling that were doing that really hardcore stuff in the 80s. That was WWF. They hardly had any of that going on TV.
He was a heel and a mic man.
He was the first
he was the
best
man.
trash talker ever. Yeah. He was so good at talking and trash talking on the mic, they gave him his own goddamn segment all he did was talk. Piper's Pit.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Legendary Piper's Pit.
Indeed.
Hitting Snuka with the coconut. Like all the stuff that he did. He smacked Lou Albano in Madison Square Garden with the gold record.
Oh my God.
Remember that? The whole rock and wrestling connection nonsense?
Did he hit Jimmy the Mouth with the megaphone too? Jimmy Hart.
Everybody hit Jimmy Hart's own megaphone. Morton Downey Jr. Now, Morton Downey Jr. was smoking.
Right.
During Piper's Pit. Yeah, he put it out with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, that I remember. Yeah,
because he said, I remember the lie. He's like, you know, Mr. Downey, when we asked you on the show, and then, like, you know, he goes into the routine and he asks him to put out the cigarette, and obviously Morton Downey Jr. doesn't do it, and then he got out, like, the big-time, very theatrical
fire extinguisher
and put it out for him.
That was a really good Piper, but there was the slightest hint of Cosby in there, and it was really unnerving. But it's still awesome.
My Piper didn't have any Cosby in it.
I think there might have been a slight hint. In the headphones, there was a hint, a peppering of Cosby.
Just like there was a hint of roofie in those drinks. But anyway.
We should also say, since we're celebrating the life of Rowdy Roddy Piper, that we're calling this episode Begathon,
right?
Because even though Rowdy Roddy Piper has passed on, the Begathon hasn't, and it must continue.
That's right.
But before we scale away from the Rowdy Roddy Piper story, we should say OG and I had a very awesome weekend. I had some additional time other than this, but OG and I together at one of those.
It was a Big Apple Con.
Big Apple Con.
In Penn Plaza and Pavilion.
Yes, that's right. Where Rowdy was at, the Rowdy Roddy Piper's at the table next to us for 2 days. And literally all we did was talk to each other for those 2 days.
Yeah, he was the nicest dude on the planet.
I mean, he signed anything we wanted for free. Like, he signed OG has the They Live glasses.
Absolutely.
He got those signed. And of course, I think I have I don't have any wrestling stuff except Piper stuff, which is all signed by him because he signed every single. I told him, I said, I have a big Piper collection. He goes, bring it in and I'll sign everything for you. And I brought it all in and he signed every bit of it. I mean, it was terrific.
Yeah.
Really a terrific guy. And we were just joking around and he was the best con neighbor I think we've ever had. Number one. And number two, he was just the nicest, sweetest, down-to-earth guy.
Absolutely.
For a guy who was the most hated guy on the planet in the early 80s, mm-hmm. he was terrific. Really
loved
terrific.
All of his fans. I just was a nice dude.
Yeah.
Everyone. So 61, and it was cardiac arrest, which, you know, always scares me. What led to the cardiac arrest? Mm. Was there something else going on? I hope not.
I heard he worked out too much, shaved his head, and grew a beard.
Is that what
it
was?
And then the next thing you knew, cardiac arrest.
Wow.
That'll do it.
That's scary.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah?
One of the best guest turns, too, on Always Sunny. He's phenomenal.
Yes. Two episodes.
He came back, I think, in another either later season. I don't think it was the same season. But, yeah. Great, great guest star.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about stuff like They Live or...
Oh, sure.
Which, of course, is one of the king of the C movies.
Sure.
Any number of D movies that he did. And he did quite a few in the 90s. At least half a dozen or so. Really, really terrible movies along the lines of They Live, but there's no better example of a fine B movie than They Live.
Oh, I know.
A and B, where did Rowdy Roddy Piper come from to star in a movie that is a cult hit 30 odd years later? Amazing. I was floored that we got to know that guy, and he was absolutely my favorite my entire youth growing up.
And he will absolutely be missed.
Yes.
But that being said, the Begathon is
the Begathon is on.
Begathonin.
And the first group of auctions is up.
Correct.
A lot of great stuff in there.
So now I've been tweeting that link out, and for some reason, depending on how you access that link, it either works for you or it doesn't work for you. So I'm going to be posting links that work to both the individual auctions and the master link in this week's episode post.
It is okay for us to give the seller name as well. They can search by seller name.
Yeah, that'll all be in that post. It'll all be there. I'll tweet the seller name again tomorrow. I see one of the auctions has some bids on it. I think a couple of the other ones do
I know PK was eyeing the Dude 12-inch figure.
That is fantastic, that it figure.
Did you see that it has every single stitch of clothing that he wore in that movie?
All the clothes. Everything. And all the rug
the
is
rug
in there.
The rug is in there. Oh, everything.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
I'm expecting PK to actually jump
bid
on that.
Oh, it's tempting. It is tempting.
Yeah. So check those links out.
If it means anything, I was at a toy show this weekend and it was going for more than $200 there. So, you know,
there you go.
It's your opportunity. Pick it up.
And I'm going to say that if you don't want to support through that, you could make direct donations via PayPal, bigfcstuff@gmail.com. Uh-huh. We've actually already gotten two through that method. So thank you to the two gentlemen that did that. Cleveland was one of them.
Oh, Cleveland.
And a longtime listener of the show, our friend Nick, who's in New Jersey. He was one of them as well.
Terrific.
So you guys
thank you so much,
the
gentlemen.
Bee's knees, dare I say.
You are allowing this train wreck to continue.
That's right.
We should also say, I just mentioned it, and I'm going to mention it again. I was just at a toy show this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I was at the New Jersey Collectors Con.
Oh, right. Yeah,
in southern New Jersey. Man, can I just tell you something? That show is awesome.
Is that on Sunday?
New Jersey Collectors Con.
Saturday and Sunday this weekend?
It was just, I think it's just Sunday. Yeah. I went down real early in the morning, because I needed to be back. So I was in the door really early, got to talk to a whole bunch of people. I just want to take 2 minutes and talk about all the things that I saw there.
Sure.
First of all, the first thing I saw there was Paul Harrison from Jedi Temple Archives.
Nice.
Who never comes
to... I was going to say, what was he doing
very
there?
Very rarely does he come to conventions. So it was great to hang out with Paul for a little while. We actually walked the room together and we're having chats.
Very nice.
That was really great. I also wanted to mention that Boss Fight Studio was there with their protos. They are amazing.
Yeah, I know, but there's some stuff.
What stuff?
There are some people that are less than happy with the people at Boss Fight Studios, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
Well, what I heard, and I've heard this from other toy makers, who have said that, and I actually discussed this with them. I actually discussed it with them. I said, so the word, if you will, is that you guys, is it possible for you guys to deliver on the promises that you've made?
Sure.
With regards to this line? And they're like, we have every intention of delivering on every promise that we have made here. And I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, I can see no clear reason for me personally why I would, you know, like they're out of my wheelhouse entirely, except I want every one of the, at least the Spartan Warriors ones. I want every single one of them. They're amazing.
No doubt.
Phil PKN, what are we looking at?
This was a line of action figures, 6-inch, fully articulated, original designs. Well, I mean,
4-inch, 3¾.
3¾.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a Kickstarter campaign, and it blew up.
It exploded.
I mean,
it
was
like a kitten, perhaps.
Except that, unlike a kitten, there are some concerns that they will not be able to fulfill. I'm not saying they won't do it.
Right.
I'm saying there are concerns that they will not be able to fulfill or go through with all that they promised because it blew up so big, which means, of course, they have to produce more.
It upends their whole time.
Let's talk about that, because they do have a successful line that's already available in the U.S. from Gun Marauders. I can't remember the name of the line. I feel really bad right now. If you Google Gun Marauders or Marauder Guns or Gun Runners, Marauder Gun Runners, I think that's what it is. This is a 3¾ sort of collecting site. We've talked about them on this show 100 times, and I got to talk to them also, which is what I was going to say. They're the ones that produce those clear stands.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That lock together and so on and so forth. They are amazing, right? They actually did a 3¾ line of like army troops, special forces troops, and that kind of thing for Marauder Gunrunners. It's Marauder Gunrunners.
Okay.
They actually did, and they had them there. They're amazing, and they're here. They're done. The product was actually on display there, and I have to tell you,
they were amazing, which really gives me the kind of hope for the, you know, the sort of Greek,
I feel you,
oriented ones, if right. you will, ancient Greek ones. And they also have a fantasy line that's coming out. Mm-hmm. They had some sketch ups there for that. They also have a sci-fi line coming out, like Bubble Helmet Air, like right up my alley. Nice. So like there's a lot of great stuff. And I understand that guys in the industry who are like, you guys, you know, you guys may, you know, guys in the industry who are saying they'll never be able to do what they say they're going to do and keep the quality and so on. I'm telling you, the Boss Fight guys, I spoke to them for a good long time this weekend. They are absolutely confident that they will be all able right. to do it.
I hope they can. It was amazing stuff.
I know. So. And I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited because they're amazing pieces.
I think we could move forward. We have a couple voicemails.
Well, I just want to say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. One more time, New Jersey Collectors Con, you can Google it. I think the date of the next one is probably up there. I'm never going to miss that show if I can help it.
Sure.
It's not really a big show, but it's a very focused show. Very focused on action figure collecting, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, other things as well, but generally those. Really, really, really terrific show.
Hey, speaking of weekends, do we want to say three cheers for our time traveling this most recently too?
Or we should say the that. Three of us did attend the
there's photographic evidence.
There is photographic evidence.
I have a drink in my hand.
You do. It's not yours.
It's mine.
But it's in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did attend the New York Renaissance Festival this past weekend. Uh-huh. It was a delight.
We were all dressed up.
We were.
Gussied up for the occasion.
It was nice. I don't want to go too deep with this because a lot of our listeners don't give a shit. But I really kind of feel like...
What do you mean?
For the people who have been before or have been long time feeling, I kind of feel like it's starting to recapture some of the older...
The missus and I were talking about the same thing. Yeah. Starting last year,
yeah.
I started to get the fire back for enjoying my time up there. And still, we do what we do. We just go up and be, which usually entails
drinking,
filling our mugs fairly frequently throughout the course of the day. And shopping, of course. I went a little nuts and bought an outfit this past weekend because, you know, you need new threads season. It was first weekend.
Did you go the second day as well?
No, we did not.
You bought an outfit the day we were there?
You guys headed out. We milled about for another two hours.
I don't know why I thought that.
And
for some reason that
and I sprang for some,
we all left together.
I sprang for some garb.
Nice.
I
bought some new stuff last year, so this is an off year for me.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So we plan to go back. And actually, any Rennies who are not aware of this, local area going back to it, the third weekend, not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, the 15th and 16th, at the very least, the wife and I will be back both days for that. So maybe we'll run into you there.
There you go.
Say hello. But the second thing to know about
if
is
– if you do find PK at the Ren Fair on the 15th and 16th, and you say, hey, I know that you're from Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you will get a lollipop.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't. You're going to give me lollipops to give them?
Sure. Yeah, no. Okay. That's fine.
All right. Say what you're going to say, and then I have to say something.
Yeah, the weekend of the 15th and 16th is what they call the Marketplace Weekend or the Vendor Weekend.
Oh, right.
And if you're a constantly going person, you're not a season pass holder, this is a good weekend to go if you'd like to go and spend some money, because if you spend $200 with a vendor, you take those receipts to the information booth, I believe, towards the end of the day or whenever you spend your money. Show those receipts and they give you two free tickets to come back this season.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
what did you have to say?
One last thing. If you are up there and, of course, you are a fan of this program and you go anytime during the season, go over to the Fellowship Foundry, which is right in the center of the fair. You'll know it. They sell all of the pewter stuff.
Right.
Go to the little side booth where they make the custom buttons and pins and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And there is a Geek Stuff pin. You could actually – Steve, the gentleman that runs that, will actually make you the Geek Stuff pin.
Nice.
So there. You can
do you remember all that rigmarole about the button for the pouch?
Yes.
Totally forgot to go back.
Nice.
Oh, no.
All right.
Dumbass.
Let's move forward. Let's do one of our voicemails.
Ooh.
This one,
whichever one.
Yeah, ladies, whatever one
the number one from before,
choice.
Yeah? All right. Boink.
Hey, guys. It's Tom from New Jersey, that blah, blah, blah guy, at On a Box on Twitter, whatever. I was listening to Kev briefly speak about the Fantastic Four movie coming up and when it tanks. And I've listened, I'm a long time listener, so I know your opinions on these things. and everybody's opinions on these things. And as comic book fans, we all agree that this movie is going to suck balls. But you also made the comment that as a strictly sci-fi, not comic book movie, it would probably make a lot of money. And I'm thinking that's what Warner Brothers or whoever's making this movie, I forget, is banking on. Because I've seen more of the trailers and what it is, and the story is kind of compelling, and I agree with you that as a Fantastic Four fan from when, I don't know, since Ken has been started doing magic, I've known the Fantastic Four as one way for a long time, and I never got into the Ultimate Universe, so I don't know what the Ultimate Universe Fantastic Four is about, but I'm thinking that maybe it might not flop as hard as it would if the whole world was
okay. Cut it off.
Fans. Yeah,
he's saying exactly what we've been saying since the Fantastic Four movie.
There's a little deja vu happening here, I think.
Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Since you brought up Fantastic Four, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Because Tom, thank you for your voicemail. Let's talk about the movie.
Yeah.
So there was supposed to be an embargo on reviews until Friday of this week.
But two of them slipped out.
A lot more than two.
Oh, yeah?
Once two slipped out, they all slipped out. Variety published theirs.
Uh-huh.
Rotten Tomato already has like a 17% score.
17.
Wow. Based on the reviews, it's already trending to make
less money than Pixels.
Wow. But 46 million is what they're predicting for opening weekend, which sounds like a lot, but not for this movie.
No.
Not for the kind of cash they spent on
that. Not when you consider Ant-Man was predicted to make 56 and actually came in at 58. So this is actually trending lower than Ant-Man, which is pretty surprising because they thought it was going to be a
big movie.
Really big.
Yep.
And what we're not going to spend a ton of time about it because none of us have actually seen it. We got to say a couple of things that I've at least taken from the reviews. For example, the Variety review says something to the effect of it was like an experiment that just didn't quite gel.
Uh-huh.
Right? Mm. So, for example, it's like a really loose shit. Right? It just didn't quite form up nicely.
I get it.
Is what Variety is saying.
You slap a couple more bananas in there.
There was a little too much cayenne pepper.
Bind it up.
That's what I'm saying. But here's the problem.
Broccoli.
And you've heard me say this 100 times before, so I'm going to repeat it. Broccoli's a good one. But broccoli makes you. But anyway, it shouldn't be a fucking experiment.
Exactly.
It should not be an experiment.
In this day and age, there's no – you know what an experiment is? Ant-Man is an experiment.
You can even argue
– Guardians of the Galaxy is an experiment. Sure. But you know, they already have a successful universe to build into. The Fox Marvel universe barely has a successful universe. And can I say this too? I know what you're going to say, but can I just add this? Enough with fucking Deadpool. Enough. No. Now he has a cameo in the FF movie?
No, he does not have a cameo
not
in the
movie. No, it's just
he was in
a
trailer.
I heard there's a rumor that he's cameo in the FF movie.
No, that would be ridiculous. Just in the trailer.
All right.
He was just in the trailer.
Which is enough.
And it was a trailer. It was only the online trailer to tease that the trailer was going to be released.
Yeah, the
this
Deadpool
Friday
trailer.
The
they're
totally trolling the trailers.
They're trolling
for trailers
the trailer.
Thing. And to be honest, I think this should end the bullshit trailers for trailers nonsense that we've been in for the past however long they've been doing this
hold
shit.
On. We're going to talk about Deadpool in a second.
Is it the Red Pool? Is it the Red Band trailer? Because that's out now.
That just came out today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. But hold on. We're getting off track. We're going to get to Deadpool in a minute. Let's stay with Fantastic Four.
All right.
So it should not be an experiment is the problem. Fantastic Four was considered by most people to be the original of the first superhero family. I guess you can argue that maybe it's not. Maybe it is. I don't know. Right. Because
who? Why? Why would you argue it?
Some people do because they feel the need to argue, right? But either way, the reason that Fantastic Four has always worked, traditionally speaking, is because it was based on the family dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And not just Sue and Reed, right? I mean, Ben was kind of like a brother to Reed. And so they, even though they weren't family by blood, they were family, right?
Right.
So there's that dynamic. And they just don't understand that when they're trying to do a Fantastic Four movie.
Right.
Another review said that they spend a lot of time in the movie looking at computer screens. It's not a fucking sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fantastic Four has to be a family dynamic.
So
that's what it has to be to work.
Let's bounce back to that voicemail for a second and let me again make the point. What I said was that if it wasn't the Fantastic Four, this would probably be a good sci-fi movie.
Right.
And what I meant by that, what I've said clearly and what he is now repeating, Anna Cock or whatever his name is, what he is now repeating is that yeah, he's agreeing. It would probably be a good sci-fi. It looks like it would be a good sci-fi movie if we could just forget the Fantastic Four.
No!
But the problem is you can't forget the Fantastic Four because right. It's the Fantastic Four.
The good Fantastic Four movie, it looks like we'll always just have to be the Incredibles. And we're just going to have to leave it at that. Just yeah. Leave it hey, at
look,
that.
Look, I know maybe you guys weren't fans. I like the other two Fantastic Four movies. I didn't hate them.
I liked the first one.
I didn't hate the Silver Surfer.
I didn't like Galactus Cloud.
No, but that was the weak point in that movie. But the Surfer was okay. But
Chris Evans as Human Torch was great casting.
Of course it was.
All those things.
It was great casting.
Casting across the board was excellent. Sans Jessica Alba, really. Yeah. Why? Everybody was very serviceable. I thought she sucked.
How did she suck?
Just bland. There was nothing going on.
She's kind of a bland actress in general.
It's not really that great a character.
She's not, but there's more that she could have loaned to it than. Yeah.
I don't know that that's not true. I think she's. As funny as it may seem, I think if you really pull back and look at the Fantastic Four, I think that Sue Storm is the most important character on the team. I think she's the glue that holds everything together. She's got the direct relationship with
that's
Johnny.
True.
She marries Reed.
Right.
And she is, for all intents and purposes, the sister, air quotes, to Ben. And Ben has always treated her like a sister. He always protected her, tried to protect her, even though she was like crazy powerful.
I get that. That's a good argument.
She's the cornerstone to the team in a lot of ways. So she has to be important.
I get that.
But anyway, so Fantastic Four happened. The trailer is happening. It doesn't look like it's going to do very well.
Are we going to now talk about Deadpool and how sick I am already of Deadpool and how the hype is so great for Deadpool that Marvel Fox thinks that they need to stick him in everything?
Hold on. He was in the commercial. He did the trailer to the trailer, but he totally made fun of the fact that it was a trailer for a trailer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a very Deadpoolian dig.
He trolled
at the
Fantastic
Hollywood.
Four trailer,
right?
Which was also it's very in character, I find, so I'm okay with it. And then the actual trailer hit, and it looks fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, you're entitled to your opinion. I think it looks amazing. I think Ryan Reynolds' passion for the product. Is coming through very clear. They clearly are going for the hard R.
Oh,
like, there's
absolutely.
No way around it.
I don't disagree with you.
I think it's
going to
be a great movie.
Okay.
I think Colossus looks good in it. From what I think TJ Miller, I might actually enjoy outside of just a voice actor because normally I enjoy his voice work more than I
liked him in, but she's out of my league.
But I don't know.
Cloverfield, which he was essentially a voice actor in Cloverfield.
Like a testicle with teeth. Yeah. You look like an avocado, fucking an older avocado.
Yeah.
I think it looks the triple shot, the triple headshot kill.
Yeah,
the effects look great. Yep. I think they did hamburger up his face just a bit more from what we saw prior to now. So I think the effects were tweaked a bit, but I think it looks great. I think he owns the character. I'm totally excited for it. February is going
to
be a good month.
Yeah, I am excited to see it. You know, I don't want to give any misconceptions that I'm not excited to see it. What I'm talking about is the fact that they're taking something that has a lot of hype and they're trying to connect it to everything.
Yeah, but they're connecting it in a way that makes sense for Deadpool.
Is he in Age of Ultron or not Age of Ultron?
Apocalypse?
Age of Apocalypse.
I don't believe so, but I think they're doing it in a very Deadpool manner, and that's the only reason. Look, you have to give exceptions when they're appropriate. Uh-huh. I think this is an appropriate exception.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if he trolls a couple of other things between now and February,
of course.
And I'm all for it as long as he does right way.
I mean, what do we have? What do we have that's their property that's coming out between now and then? Other than Apocalypse.
Fox has, I'm sure, something.
The Wolverine. The last Wolverine movie.
When is Apocalypse again anyway?
It's next summer, I think.
Next summer.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, so it'll be out after. Deadpool is the point. But anyway, I'm excited for Deadpool. I think the trailer looks great.
Yeah.
We have another voicemail. Why don't we bang through that?
This is Sea Monkey, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. This is not Sea Monkey.
Uh-oh.
Wait, was Sea Monkey the one we were doing in the second part?
No, that's Scanner 51 is the second part. Oh, yeah. Sea Monkey is part one.
Well, and yeah, give a do
all right.
Need to put the
do we want to talk about something else?
Oh, here we go. Sea Monkey 67 on Twitter. Just wanted to talk to you, just say something about the Superman versus Batman. I have a feeling there's going to be some time travel shenanigans in this, where the Flash goes back in time, because you know I keep hearing rumors the Flash is going to be in it. And I think you're going to see the Flash go back in time and stop Superman from killing Zod. Not sure if it's going to make it a better movie. Pretty sure it's not going to make it a better movie. But anyway, that's just an idea I had that's how they're going to sort of go back and correct that outrageous mistake. Anyway, just wanted to call, tell you my idea. Yeah, it's a theory.
Okay, go ahead. No, what I'm going to say is that universe is so ridiculous that wouldn't surprise me.
There you go. I just want to say, Sea Monkey, I tried to find you on the Twitter today so that I could give you some sort of accolades and props. I spelled C-S-E-A. I spelled C-S-E-E. I tried underscores.
Did you try
hash marks?
Did you try M-U-N-K-Y?
I did not. So you're going to have to find me on Twitter and give me your proper handle.
Monkey.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to – I don't think they need to correct – the Zod thing. And I think – I mean I do because I don't agree with it. But I don't think that in the scope of where this movie is going – first of all, I don't think Flash is going to play a big enough role in this movie to do that.
Is he actually going to appear in this movie?
Well, he was on set at one point in time with some sort of green screeny socks on. So, yes.
You talk the kid from the TV show?
No, no. Recast him. There's a new guy. There's Ezra Miller.
From Perks of Being a Wallflower.
No, Grant Gustin plays Flash lovely on the CW. I mean, it's a good theory, I guess, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Ezra, that's the We Need to Talk About Kevin kid, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know. He's Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah, I think he was in We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is a very disturbing but excellent movie.
Oh. So thank you for your call, Sea Monkey.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Sea Monkey.
Let's quickly talk about The Flash since we kind of brought it up. Today they just cast Wally West for the new season of The Flash. So we're going to have three Flashes now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Potentially in next season of The Flash. We have Jay Garrick, Speed Force, Barry Allen, and Wally West. Yeah, look, I'm okay with it. And we also have, you know, we also have Reverse Flash in there as well. So lots of Flash.
Professor Zoom.
And they also cast Hawkman for Legends of Tomorrow, but he's going to make his debut appearance in the big Flash Arrow crossover mid-season, which will then lead into Legends of Tomorrow anyway.
I wonder where they're going to get him from.
Well, Hawk Girl is also in it, so I don't know how they're doing or what they're doing, but there you go. So
interesting.
That universe is lovely. It's a great universe. That's the DC universe we deserve. I'm sorry, but it is.
It's not the DC universe you want.
All right.
But it's the one you deserve.
Let's follow up to a story we talked about last week. Channing Tatum has signed his deal to play Gambit.
Well,
it takes for nothing!
Exactly. Shucks. And not only that, Ken, you're going to love this next part.
Oh?
Do you know how long he is potentially signed on for?
Nine films.
Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
Wait, what?
10 years.
Ten years.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait. It's a year contract? Well, what the hell is 10 years? That could be two movies, Ken, the way these people work. It's Fox.
Well, it could be, but it could also be six movies. Depending on how they do it.
You mean he's just going to start popping up and everything?
Yeah, he'll have
Age of Apocalypse. Or, I'm here.
Why not?
They could, I'm here.
It's Fox. Maybe they'll cancel it.
Maybe.
Arbitrarily. That would be great.
Age of Apocalypse is still
filming. Don't play them in the wrong order.
Fuck.
Age of Apocalypse is still filming, so he could appear in there.
Oh, he's definitely in there.
The Gambit solo movie. Wolverine has at least one more movie in him. They're talking about an X-Force movie. I guarantee there'll be a Deadpool sequel. So there's room for him to bounce around that universe like a ping pong ball.
If he shows up in Age of Apocalypse, it might kill me. I could physically implode, especially if he shares the screen for any amount of time with the other one. that I geek mudgeon about on a regular basis.
Well, look. You mean Apocalypse?
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'll give him the chance because I love Oscar Isaac, but fucking Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Olivia Munn, Channing Tatum, and a Power Ranger villain all team up for a movie. We're calling it Age of Apocalypse.
Wow.
All right, let's move on. We talked about Deadpool already. But Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
Did you hear about this? After Limbo.
Do we need an intro?
No. We are not talking about the game.
Oh.
After years of legal disputes between Hasbro and I think Warner Brothers.
Hasbro?
Yeah, because Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast,
right. Yeah,
and Wizards of the Coast owns Dungeons and Dragons,
ipso facto Hasbro. Gotcha.
And Warner Brothers, who had some sort of film rights, but Hasbro had been cock-blocking it for years.
Uh-huh.
That apparently has been sussed out.
Right.
And they are moving forward with yet another Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Sweet. Is it set in Eberron?
I hope Richard O'Brien reprises his role as the Master of the Thieves Guild.
Nobody cares.
Can
they just adapt the cartoon already?
Just do it.
Who voiced Venger? Was that Peter
that was,
Cullen or was that Frank Welker?
Believe it was Peter Cullen.
I thought it was Frank Walker that did Venger.
Frank Welker?
It was one of the two. I thought it was Peter Cullen, but then I had the bad guy voice in my mind, and I was like, Welker.
He's got more of the depth and not the rasp,
yeah,
I think. But I'd have to look that
well,
up.
Well, anyway, they're around. You know, you could do Venger. They're not going to do Venger.
They're not going to do an adaption of that awful cartoon.
All right. You know what's even more ridiculous than a Dungeons & Dragons movie?
Fantastic Four?
Nope. A Pez movie.
Oh, God.
From the people that brought you the Lego movie, it's the Pez movie.
It is not the people that brought you the Lego movie. The Lego movie is awesome.
Is the people that brought you Battleship?
I don't know. It's Envision Media Arts. I have no idea who they are.
Nobody?
Wow. Wow.
The gentleman who penned the Three Stooges movie and Brother-in-Law, Cameron Fay, will pen the screenplay.
Oh, he's Fay, all right.
And look, do we need a Pez movie?
Do we need
talking
about this further?
All right.
Drop that paper.
You know,
speaking
of Lego, very quickly, we mentioned last week the Lego Brickumentary. We mentioned it on the show last week.
Yeah.
So I had the opportunity to see the Lego Brickumentary. It's awesome. It really is great. I recommend if you are a Lego fan that you seek it out.
I've heard that.
It's really interesting. It goes into the Lego company a lot. It goes into some of the offshoot companies, like the company that makes the little guns.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It talks about the CUSO project, which is the user-based voting concept. Mm-hmm. It talks about the artistic uses of the Lego bricks, like Nathan Sawaya, who has the Art of the Brick exhibit.
Right.
It talks about other applications for Lego bricks outside of Lego, like how NASA uses Lego.
Wow.
And how MIT uses Lego to do traffic studies. I mean, it's really interesting. They talk about everything.
Is it true they list every known swear word that has been used when people step in bare feet on a fucking Lego that's laying around?
No, they do not do that. No. They even cover the Lego convention scene.
That's a whole separate topic.
That actually can't be measured with existing technology.
have you seen that exhibit? I forget. I think it was in Mall of America. You know how they have the Firewalker pits,
yes,
where they set up the pits with the hot coals?
Of course, yeah.
I think in Mall of America, it was either the Lego store or somebody else set up instead of hot coals, just a bed of Legos.
That's amazing.
And they challenge you to walk across it.
Wow.
Yeah, no. I would not. I would rather walk hot coals.
Because there's sort of a roundness to, sure, to the hot coals. You just got to deal with the flaming feet.
Yeah, that's all. Burning aspect is...
Yeah, but
speed is your friend there. But
I think your feet go numb after a while with the coals. Yeah. Not so much with the Lego. I've stepped on a Lego or two.
And if you handle the hot coals with speed, you know, you're in pretty good shape. You know, if you take the Legos fast, I mean, you'll literally sand yourself down.
That's terrible.
You'd be down to your hips.
Just nubs. Bleeding nubs. All right. I have one last thing.
Looking like John McClane after
exactly.
They shot the glass.
Exactly.
She's Tim Finster.
What?
It would have been more painful.
Shoot the glass. All right.
AMC gives a straight-to-series order
You're one of them. Sorry.
AMC gives a straight-to-series order for a new show set for summer of 2016 called The West.
The West.
It is a new Western series. It's going to be a docudrama series.
Oh.
Through Stephen David Entertainment. Documentary footage and visual effects. The West will transport viewers into the violent world of cowboys and Indians, outlaws and lawmen, and chronicle the intimate, little-known stories of Western legends such as Jesse James, Billy the Kid, Wyatt Earp, Crazy Horse, and Sitting Bull.
Al Swearengen and Wu.
Yeah. Spanning the years 1865 to 1890.
Do you know, PK, just to bring this up, did you know I met Wu? At Celebration.
I saw, I think there was a photo of that, wasn't there?
Yes. He was just there with his family and he walked by. Did I tell, I don't know if I told the story in the air. He was there with his family just at the convention and he walked by and he's looking, and I'm like, I caught his eye at that when I was at the table, for Jedi News UK and all. And, I stood up and I said, can I get a picture with you? And he said, why do you want a picture with me? And I'm like, cause I know who you are. And he said, who am I? And I said, you're that actor in that thing. Which thing? And I'm like, I don't remember which thing exactly, but you were awesome in it.
Oh, Jesus.
And he goes, was it Deadwood? And I go, woo! Woo, you're fucking woo! And he just started laughing. He took a really great picture with me. I was very happy.
Nice. It
was one of my highlights of Celebration. It had nothing to do with Star Wars.
There you go.
What channel will that be on?
AMC.
Oh, AMC.
Yeah.
Okay. They have what you call it right now.
All the Walking Deads. They got The Preacher.
No, the Western one.
Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels.
They also have that the Mob show.
Oh, yeah. I haven't checked that one.
Which also they renewed for a second season.
The Hell on Wheels one is a pretty good show, I understand. I haven't checked it out.
There's a very – actually, between Walking Dead with Atlanta and just the general South, you've got now Hell on Wheels.
But Sons of Anarchy,
West.
Was that AMC
Now you've got
too?
Preacher.
That was AMC.
He is FX.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Oh, maybe that was FX.
But
it's like AMC is the new
you're
USA.
You're saying they have a love affair with the South.
The runners at AMC, they have like a not necessarily a South, but a Western edge sort of thing. You know,
I'm okay with
all
of that.
Texas, the South, et cetera.
Like, listen, I like
is that
the West.
Their wheelhouse?
It might be.
Other than Mad Men.
I wonder if they're based out of there. But I like AMC. I like Westerns. I like docudramas. And I like all of those historical figures. So I'm very interested in checking out the West when it comes out next
time. Yeah.
I have two guns, one for each of you.
With that, unless either of you have something, I think we could take our first break.
Oh.
We do have a game stuff that we will have during the break.
A super game stuff or a regular game?
It's like a 5-minute segment.
Oh.
GameCom was this past weekend, so I think Hope Logic has some updates on
we
that.
We got one thing that just popped from earlier today. Over at Sony, they were announcing release dates.
Okay.
They tweaked the Ghostbusters release date. That got moved up by a week. The Jumanji remake was inexplicably announced for Christmas of next year. By the way, this is coming from Birth Movies Death, the resource for all this. But most interestingly to this is in this release, the Dark Tower was given a release date of January 13th, 2017.
Yeah, finally moving forward with that.
For real?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's the problem.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Here's the problem.
A year and a half out, we're going to pull off this movie? This thing that's been in this kind of development hell for,
forever.
Millennia?
Here's the problem. The Dark Tower should not be a film franchise. It should be a TV show, in my personal opinion.
The original plan of film franchise to TV show to film franchise to TV show sounded brilliant.
Yeah.
And,
well, here it is.
There it went.
So, there you go. I think with that, we will take that break. Yes?
Yes, sir. And we will be right back with this episode, whatever number it is, of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hey, it's your pal Anthony Cumia here, and you're apparently listening to Game Stuff with the inimitable Coke Logic.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Gamescom 2015 happened, and some really cool stuff was shown off. Very smart of Microsoft, they withheld certain games from this year's E3 to allocate games to show off at Gamescom. And or these games weren't ready to show off, but either way, they were shown off now, and it was a very smart move. The three noteworthy titles were Quantum Break, Scalebound, and Crackdown 3. Quantum Break is the game Remedy decided to develop instead of Alan Wake 2. It's about a cop and his brother, and the ability to slow and stop time. It's a game to look forward to, but like all Remedy games, they take forever to make. So look forward to more information in 2016. Scalebound is the Xbox One exclusive from Platinum Games. It's the story about a part dragon boy and his dragon. An action RPG where the environments look like they're from Dragon Age Inquisition and the combat from DMC Devil May Cry, with a few camera angles straight out of Infamous. Clearly, this is one of those games where the developer is taking the best parts from a few games to make something new. And that totally works for me. Scalebound looks like fun. The third Xbox exclusive is Crackdown 3, a title I'm not only skeptical about, but also cynical, as I didn't like Crackdown 1 or 2. Although that was 10 years ago, and this is a brand new game. The skepticism comes from the real-time 100% destructibility of an entire city. Boasted that this is all possible with the computing power of the cloud. That there is 6 to 20 times the computing power of an Xbox One, all offloaded to multiple interconnected servers, and the whole thing sounds too good to be true. Meanwhile, if someone builds a giant base on an online survival game, the whole screen stutters because of what they call lag spike. And to think Crackdown 3 has not only solved this problem, but performing modern-day magic seems too good to be true. But if they do pull it off, it would be amazeballs. And while it's not an Xbox One exclusive, Dark Souls 3 released a new trailer, this time showing off gameplay. And wow. It looks faster, it looks more brutal, and evil. And now we wait until spring 2016. New releases? There's a few. Starting with Rare Replay. The developer that made Banjo-Kazooie, Jet Force Gemini, Perfect Dark, and Viva Piñata have released a collection of nearly their entire catalog for $30. Even if you look at the list of games and remember that Cameo was not a success, the sheer volume of 30 titles in one collection is worth the price alone. If you have an Xbox One, take a look at Rare Replay. It's out now for $30. Speaking of collections, Mega Man Legacy Collection has been given a release date of August 25th. The digital download copy will be $15. The collection contains Mega Man 1 through 6. Another example of a perfect price for a collection of classic games. Not speaking of the perfect price for a collection of classic games, Gears of War Ultimate Edition will be released on August 25th for $40. Much like my complaint of God of War 3, this remaster is overpriced for a single 10-year-old game. Although Microsoft is sweetening the deal by making it a collection. If you buy Gears of War Ultimate Edition, later this year you will get Gears of War 1, 2, and 3, and the fourth game, Judgment, for free, via their backwards compatibility program. There is a window to this offer, so you may want to wait until Gears of War is on sale for $20 somewhere, and then scoop up the back catalog like a boss. And finally, when the next expansion for Destiny comes out in September, Peter Dinklage will be patched out of the game. All his lines will be re-recorded by voice actor Nolan North, which seems insane to me, even if Peter Dinklage gave an abysmal voice performance.
The Hive haven't been on Earth in centuries. That wizard came from the moon.
This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step-by-step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 382. And, of course, we're calling this one Begathon.
Yes, because the Begathon is on. We should call them all Begathon.
From now on.
Begathon 2.
Until New York Comic Con.
Until Begathon's over.
That's certainly true.
You heard, of course, the commercial from our sponsor,
yes,
D'Agostini's. Build the Millennium Falcon. Buildmillenniumfalcon.com.
Right.
Or give them a call at 877-544-6779. I think we may have that as an answer to that contest thing as part of the Begathon. That might start next week.
Oh, sweet.
So hopefully we'll be able to get that out of the way. It is an awesome thing. You should check it out.
There's a commercial for it. If you go to our website, there's a YouTube commercial in the episode post.
Oh,
you could check it out there and see some more pictures and stuff.
And we have some product for this week?
We do, but we have a voicemail first.
Oh, I forgot. So maybe, it's kind of a product review.
It is a product review, so we're going to do that first.
All right. Here we go.
Geek Stuff Crew, Scanner51 from Twitter. I got a product review for you guys. I went ahead and bought the Star Wars cereal at my job the other day. I work at a grocery store, 2 for $5. Can't complain about the price. It's shit. Don't skip it. Don't even buy it. The only saving grace to this cereal is, as we've been talking about for the past 5 months, is that there are marshmallow lightsabers in it. The little corn puff parts kind of have the consistency of Kicks. Only thing is, when you bite into them, they have a very bland, fruity taste to them. I didn't like that because you don't know what flavor you're going to get. It's just a mix of colorless flavor crap. There's a reason why Kellogg's doesn't have a Trix version or a Lucky Charms version, because they can't do it. They can't do it. This cereal is shit. Don't buy it for yourself. Don't buy it for your kids. Don't buy it for anyone. You guys have a great show. Bye.
I love that, when he calls in.
That voicemail was sponsored by Star Wars cereal.
That's right. Scanner 51 is a good egg, and I will not be buying the cereal.
I mean, I don't want to misunderstand. So what he's saying is the cereal is shit.
I believe shit.
Correct. Okay. And you know what, OG? I'm going to call you out. A, I think you are going to buy that cereal.
Nope.
And B, I seen you eat enough of that, what you call it, what was that stuff that they were giving out at New York Comic Con?
Crave.
I've seen you eat enough Crave to kill a small animal.
That was the olden days.
Yeah, well, yes.
The olden days.
You're older and wiser.
You have a child now who probably would eat that cereal.
After the Crave incident, you know, where I shit cardboard boxes for 2 weeks straight.
with square corners.
I no longer eat that detritus. So the Crave might have been the impetus behind me eating healthier.
Really?
I'm just saying.
It did start right around then. And Crave. Yeah, so there you go. So marshmallow lightsabers are not a saving grace of anything, just so we can put that out there. Yeah, so don't check out the brand new Star Wars cereal.
There you go. Buy it for the boxes, maybe.
There is the only Star Wars product we're probably not going to endorse in the next 6 months.
Well, thank you for biting the bullet, as it were, Scanner 51. It's appreciated.
Or biting the marshmallow lights.
Yeah. And we really should like, I mean, really give him props, because he probably had to have a couple of bowls of that cereal in order to prepare. For that review. And I can only imagine, you know, based on some of their other products, what the aftermath of must be like.
We may want to gather a second opinion, though, because what kind of a stoner demographic do we have, and what's their take?
Okay,
the Star Wars cereal?
I think what I hear is PK volunteering to have a few bowls of the Star Wars cereal. If you would like to hear PK have the Star Wars cereal and his reaction to it, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The problem is, I'm not a stoner.
You walked right into that.
No. No, not you, PK.
All right. We have some more actual product to discuss on the show.
Do you have anything else, or are we going right into this?
No, let's go right into that.
All right.
Why would we not go right into that?
Here's the thing. I'm not so enormously a fan of the other two pieces in this line. I'm just going to say
What are the other two pieces in this line?
Well, the other two pieces in this line Blunt Man and Chronic. Okay. So this is from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Right.
It's Blunt Man and Chronic, and the piece we're about to talk about. I don't actually like the version that they've done here of Blunt Man and Chronic. I actually really love the version of Blunt Man and Chronic that was done by, I think it was
Graffiti.
Yeah. Those versions of the characters are great. And I would love to have seen this character done by Graffiti, but I'm going to take it where I can get it.
Sure.
And tonight we're going to be talking about none other than
Cock Knocker. Oh, look at him. Look at him in all of his big fisted glory.
Right. So it's a, of course, you know, this is a Marvel Select figure, so scale is optional.
Right.
You don't quite know. It's not quite 6-inch because he's a little bit bigger than that, but it's not quite 8-inch because he's not that big. So it's kind of its own scale, if you will. And it is Mark Hamill's character from the Jay and Silent Bob movie, Cock Knocker.
Uh-huh.
He has a giant fist.
His Cock Knocker.
He has a laser sword. What do they describe it? They don't call it a laser sword. What is it? Energy sword weapon.
There you go.
So no one's getting sued. And a couple of pieces of detritus, because if you buy all three pieces, you kind of have this little blunt cave scenario that you can set up. I bought this. This was an impulse. I ordered this. I wanted to have this in my collection because, funny enough, as big of a Star Wars fan as I am, I don't think – I'd have to double check, but I don't think I have a Star Wars piece signed by Mark Hamill.
Sure.
And I've met Mark on a number of different occasions.
Sure.
And I don't think I – however, I would pay his asking price to get him to sign this piece for me.
That's impressive.
Is that weird?
A little bit, but it's impressive.
It's going to be tough because he's about to blow up in that new movie he's in later this year.
He's Killing Joke?
No, Guyver 2.
Wow.
There Wing you go.
Commander 2. Boom.
No, Slipstream 2. I'll undercut you there, sir.
Big Red 1, too.
Hey, that was a great movie.
That's a phenomenal movie.
Just saying. Right. There would be no 2. he's fully articulated. He does have the awful, awful hip articulation.
Can I ask a question, though, about this?
With the peg in the front. Yes, sir.
Is this the only other figure of his actual likeness that exists of Mark Hamill outside of a Luke figure? Joker doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. I would think yes.
I don't think there was ever a trickster figure.
There wasn't a trickster figure.
Because there were figures from that line.
No, I think this is the only Mark Hamill toy that is not a Luke Skywalker toy.
Figure. That's impressive by itself.
Right. And it's such a nice – I mean, it's packaged very nice. You know, it has his picture on the side, has the other products on the back. It's really a well-done piece. You got to give it – you know, give it its due.
Oh, absolutely.
If I get him at some point to write – hey, Kev, quote, you don't fuck with a Jedi Master, son, end quote, Mark Hamill signed on it. Yeah. I will be ecstatic. I would pay for that privilege. And I cannot explain it to you because I do not have a Star Wars piece signed. I'm about 80% sure I don't have a Star Wars piece signed by Mark Hamill. I might. I have pictures with him, a dozen of them, I'm sure. But I do not have a piece that is actually signed by like a Star Wars toy that's actually signed by him. And I really should.
You should.
You know, in my Star Wars – I mean, I have Greedo, for goodness sake. I mean, I should have Luke Skywalker. I've had opportunity.
But yet,
I'm more excited about getting this signed
that's hilarious.
By him than I would be about getting a Luke. I can't explain.
That's really funny.
He may appreciate that more, too. I mean
– He might.
Just by nature of it not being a Luke for a
change. Right. But I mean, and you have to say this, the figure's really well done. I mean, likeness, you know, like it's
I think the likeness is actually pretty good, to be honest with you.
I think it's a really well done piece, except for that awful hip.
I was going to ask about the hips. That crazy legs articulation makes no sense to me. What is that all about?
It's so he can split. For some reason, he needs to do a split.
Is it cut to spin, though, too?
Oh, yeah. It'll rotate. You know, like if you're turning your ankle, but it also will – the legs will go up on the side. So you can theoretically rotate at the hip and then put – I mean we understand what the point of articulation is.
The place where articulation takes place?
That's correct, sir. We understand why it's there. It's just been abandoned, I think, by almost every action figure company on the planet at this point.
Yeah, that's funny. If you look at the product pictures on the back – look at the protos. I don't think he has that point of articulation in the proto. You don't see the pegs in that photo.
No, he does. It's just done differently.
Is it?
Yeah. It's done. It's not pinned the same way.
Oh, okay.
Probably what it was is they found a way to do it and it just wasn't working out. So they're like, screw it. We got to put the pin in.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Maybe. But look, I think it's a pretty cool figure. You know, otherwise.
I'd love to, you know, and the flip side, of course, is I'd love to take it out and display it. However, I know I'm going to get the opportunity to get this signed at some point.
You can't take that out.
Is he at New York Comic Con? I'll do it there.
Either the proto didn't have pins in it, and that's just static, or the retoucher photoshopped out the pin.
Well, I've seen that articulation done without pins. My feeling is I don't think I've seen it on a 6-inch figure without pins, and it simply could be that it just was too much to do without a pin on a 6-inch or 8-inch or whatever the fucking size figure it is.
I'm pretty sure they used a similar body for the J figure.
They did, yeah.
But you don't see the pegs in that either, so maybe they changed it.
It's probably a similar body for Silent, but for Blunt Man, even though it shouldn't be, based on timing, now it could work, but –
because he's lost like 85 pounds, God bless
him. He's lost half of Kevin Smith.
He has. Yeah. And did you hear how he did it? He just doesn't drink any – he's like – he doesn't eat any sugar.
Yeah.
And he walks – he has like a hill next to his house. And he just walks his dogs like two or three times a day and like mostly juice.
Yeah. Well, good for
like,
him.
And not like store-bought juice. Yeah. He like buys like fruit and vegetables. You know, like juicing juice. Yeah. Guy's lost 85 pounds,
good
man.
On him, man.
God.
He looks
bless
great.
Him. Yeah, when I saw him at the Atlantic City Con, I was like floored.
He looks
great. I was worried he was going to be like, you know, yo, Kev, so I have cancer. You know, like, I was worried.
Wow. Wow.
I was worried.
I hear
that's
you.
Always a sticky question. Hey, you look great. Well, because I'm dying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the guy.
Oh,
wow. Awesome.
And the guy does smoke like a chimney. Yeah. So, just saying.
Is he still
Yes. I have no comment on the knowledge that I may have on that topic.
So,
or may not have on that topic.
With all of that,
let's have him try the Star Wars cereal then.
Nope.
I don't think he would eat the Star Wars cereal for the same reason OG isn't going to eat the Star Wars cereal.
Not happening in my world. I don't want to shit cardboard boxes for a week again.
Ever.
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 Is that it? I think we're done.
I think so.
I think we're done. I mean, hear some music.
I think the wrap-up music is telling me that we're done. So I'm okay with all of that.
Lovely.
And so with that being said,
yes,
don't forget you can find us online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Of course, there's the Amazon affiliate link, Amazon.BKGeekStuff.com. If you'd like to use that, we love it. The Begathon, of course, is very, very active. And the PayPal button works. If you don't want to participate through the eBay auctions,
right.
Please, you know, if you want to donate something, because you love us.
Let's say it again also. This is only the first round of auctions.
That's right.
The first seller who's helping us out, there's going to be at least three more that I know of, sets of auctions that are going to up, possibly four. So you're definitely going to want to take advantage. There is some great stuff that's already being auctioned off now. Everything I think that's in the current auctions is either a San Diego exclusive or something obtained at San Diego as part of an exclusive.
So there you go.
Great stuff up right now. Definitely take advantage. And then more stuff to come.
Mm-hmm.
I keep digging things out of the product archive that I'm like, what? I can totally like do this. What?
There you go.
Can I say one more thing that I found out today? Do you remember Magic the Gathering? Just before we go. Do you remember Magic
the Gathering? Of course.
Do you remember Alpha Cards?
We
had Alpha Cards. Remember we had Alpha Cards? Did you have a Black Lotus?
I did not have a Black Lotus. That is a coveted possession.
Yeah. I had a Black Lotus Alpha in my collection of cards. Somewhere, I think I still have this collection of cards. Two of these cards recently sold at auction.
Yeah.
One was signed by the artist. One was not. They were in, obviously, very mint condition, right? Would you like to know the price?
Oh, I know. I don't remember.
$70,000
What?
For Black the Lotus signed is... one, and $38,000 for the unsigned.
Black Lotus is the most coveted Magic card
expensive playing card ever made.
The Alpha version, because it did not make it out of Beta. It was an Alpha reprinted in Beta.
That's it,
and then deemed too powerful.
Correct,
and bounced out when they went to standard.
Right.
$38,000.
For an unsigned Alpha
Black Lotus.
So I'm putting this out there. If you're going to garage sales.
Look for a Black Lotus?
No, I'm saying this. If you go to a garage sale and someone's like, oh, yeah, I have these old Magic cards. It's like you want the whole box for like $10. Take it. Take the box for $10. Look through it. If you find anything, you know, if you don't find a Black Lotus, because it would really be like the holy grail of finding a card.
It's the Honus Wagner of
it
Magic
is.
Cards.
Yeah.
It's
it
like finding the pennies with like the special little mint
thing
on it. Exactly.
You know, this one's worth $1 million.
That said, Magic is still a thriving community. There's no doubt you can find somebody to sell these cards to. And if you brought them and were like, can I get like $20 store credit? You'd get it.
Yep.
Right? Because it's on an upswing again. I'm just saying. I was flabbergasted when I heard
it. I got back into it myself for a little bit, but just not finding the time to play at the moment.
I can't do it.
I'll be eBaying the lot soon.
I don't want to derail
us
I really wanted to talk about that. I forgot, that's why I put it up at the end. I'm sorry. But what I will say, OG, is that Begathon is on.
Yes.
And I will say, we will now bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. A little bit differently than we normally would end an episode, because we're saying goodbye to our dear friend, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
whatever you want.
And on that note, we cue the music.